Well, tonight I want to share about revival. And I've been very inspired recently because I've been reading some of the revivals that happened in America, especially through one evangelist. His name was Charles Finney. He was a lawyer. He got powerfully saved in 1821. And he died in 1875. So he had about 54 years of powerful preaching, powerful revivals in America, in England, Scotland. He did some missionary work. But what I loved about his ministry is how he revived the church so that the church could reach out to the lost. And he really shook America, and hundreds of thousands of people became Christians. And I saw it's like the revelation of God he had. It's like listening to the Apostle Paul. So it showed me that God can raise up people like the Apostle Paul, even in our generation. God can raise up powerful apostles.
Amen.
So let God raise you up to be a powerful apostle. And you also be anointed. What happened with the Apostle Paul, it can happen in our own hearts. When I was reading this, I was getting very inspired. How do we see revival again? How do we have this kind of breakthrough? It's hard going sometimes. I wrote down four things that we need if we're going to have revival. So I've called this How to Promote Revival in the Church. First of all, what is a revival? And then secondly, why do we need it? Then thirdly, how do we promote it? Okay, first of all, what is a revival? I've called it a breakthrough for the progress and advancement of God's kingdom. It's a spiritual breakthrough. It's a mighty move of God's that awakens the church to her obligation and responsibility. It awakens every Christian. If we want revival, it has to start in our own hearts. Lord God, start with me. Bring revival into my own heart for a breakthrough for the kingdom of God. God, bring a breakthrough for my own life. And then it spreads to your family, to those under your influence. And if every Christian in the church has revival, then you've got a revival church. Then the revival can touch the community. Okay, why do we need it? We need it for the salvation of believers and non-believers. I say it for the believers also, because believers are so easy backsliding, and we don't want believers to become like Judas Iscariot, who denied the Lord. If we don't have revival in the church backslides. Look what happened to the nation of Israel, called to be God's chosen people. But so many times they backslid. So a revival has to awaken the Christians. We can't backslide. So I was thinking how every generation needs revival. You know, what God did in the past is wonderful, but we need it today. And we need it for the next generation, for the children. So every generation needs another move of God, a new move of God. But my main point is, how do we promote this kind of revival? There are four things we need for revival. And I'm going to look at these four things. Number one is repentance. That's turning away from sin. Number two is prevailing prayer. Powerful prayer, earnest prayer. Number three is evangelism. That's sharing the word of God. Number four is discipleship, making disciples. And I put these four things in the circle, and the circle just goes around and around, and you keep going around the circle. You always keep needing these four things in the church: repentance, prayer, evangelism, discipleship. We always need these four things. So for each one, I'm going to just give a Bible passage, starting with repentance. I'm going to share Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. This is the prayer of King David, and it's really a a prayer that opens the way for repentance and salvation. Psalm 139:23-24.
Examine me, O God. You know my mind. Test me and discover my thoughts. Find out if there is any evil in me and guide me in the everlasting way.
Okay, I think this is a prayer that needs to be in every heart of every Christian. It's asking God, examine my heart. God, examine my mind. God, search me. Lord, you test my thoughts. You know my ways. See if there's any sin in my heart. And Lord, lead me out of it. Lead me in the way to everlasting life. So obviously King David needed that prayer because he himself had weaknesses in his own life. He had his failings, which we all do. But if we just ignore them, we are not being set free from them. But if we pray, God, search us, purify us, put us on your path of holiness and righteousness. It was his prayer to God from his heart, so that he could walk intimately with God. God is a holy God. I noticed with the message to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, to five of the churches, Jesus was calling them to repent. He was calling his own church. You know, you don't do your own thing. No, you humble yourself. You walk humbly with Jesus. You always have a repentant heart. So really, the first key for revival in the church is always repentance.
Amen.
So it starts with us. God, search me, Lord God. Search me, Lord Jesus. So you have to make that your prayer also.
Amen.
Lord God, search my heart. Okay, the second point is prayer. And I've got Mark chapter 11, verse 17. Mark chapter 11, verses 17.
He then taught the people, it is written in the scripture that God said, my temple will be called a house of prayer for the people of all nations, but you have turned it into a hideout for thieves.
We know that this was when Jesus went to the temple in Jerusalem, and what did he see? He saw people doing business, doing their own works, not doing the works of God. And of course the main work of God is his temple to be a house of prayer.
Amen.
House of prayer for all nations. You know, God wanted to bring salvation through Israel to all the nations. But they were doing their own purposes. They were doing their own work. They had lost the call of God because they were not a prayerful people. So for revival, you have to have breakthrough prayer.
Amen.
You have to have earnest prayer. And that's the thing about the revival that Charles Finney had in America, was that the new converts, they had powerful conversions to Christ. And soon as they got saved, they were just praying for their neighbors, they were praying for people. Sometimes they couldn't sleep all night because they had a burden. God, save these people. And such a big burden was on their heart. And I see that that's what the Apostle Paul had in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Romans chapter 10 verse 1, it shows the burden of prayer. Paul, the apostle, he had a burden for his own people. That knowing how when he had a powerful conversion to Jesus Christ, he was brought out of deception. He had been fighting against God, fighting against Christians. He hated Christians until he saw Jesus face to face. Suddenly he realized how he had been deceived. Now he realized the truth, but this is what was on his heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 1.
One say, my friends, how I wish with all my heart that my own people might be saved. How I pray to God for them.
So his heart's desire was for the Israelites, the people of Israel, that they would be saved. So that's what has to come into our hearts.
Amen.
Lord, when we see these Hindus worshipping idols, we have to have the heart's desire. Oh God, save them. And we have to have that burden in prayer. And so that's the second key. If we want revival, we have to have the breakthrough in prayer.
Amen.
In Nosori, I've had the blessing of sharing the word of God in the health center at the maternity units. So I get to preach to all the pregnant mothers. So they come in for the clinics. That's the best time because the room will be full of these mothers doing the clinic. And I have half an hour to share with them. But I was noticing recently, man, God was giving me good messages. His presence was there. They would all listen silently, not saying a word. I could see God was really touching them. And then I got an email from a lady telling me how she's been praying for these ladies. And she was asking me, have any of them got saved yet? And I was telling her, wow, God's presence has really been there. And God's been giving me good messages. Now I know why. It's because she's been praying and interceding.
Amen.
So it encouraged me that, you know, God's presence can really come when people are praying for you, interceding. You have to pray for whoever's preaching, that when they preach, God's presence really comes. And God can give messages if we're praying for them. But if we're weak in prayer, then we're just trying to do it on our own strength. It's not going to break through. But if we're praying, we're calling out to God, God can give revelation into your heart what the people need. And that's what I noticed about Charles Finney. There was such a depth of prayer, and he was receiving the revelation from God, right, the exact message that they needed. He could give that message to them. Okay, the third thing is we now come to evangelism. So we have repentance in the church. We have the strong prayer. Then strong prayer opens doors for the preaching of the gospel. So evangelism, and I want us to look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 2 and verse 5. So I'll pick out those three verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 2 and verse 5.
1 says, in the presence of God and all of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and because he is coming to rule as king, I solemnly urge you to preach the message, to insist upon proclaiming it, whether the time is right or not, to convince, reproach, and encourage as you teach with all patience. Verse 5, but you must keep control of yourself in all circumstances, endure sufferings, do the work of a preacher of the good news, and perform your whole duty as a servant of God.
Okay, this was Paul's advice to Timothy, how to be a powerful man of God. And he wanted him to, it's like, get more revelation of God's presence and of the second coming of Jesus, that Jesus is going to judge the living and the dead. Keep your eyes on it so that you have the passion in your heart to preach the word. And he says it doesn't matter if you think it's a good time or bad time, time is right, good season, bad season. No, every time you have to preach and encourage, build up the people. And he says, mine says, do the work of an evangelist. I think yours said, do the work of a preacher of the gospel. But that's what he was saying to them. Do the work. Yes, it is work. It can be hard work sometimes.
Right.
One thing about the apostle Paul, he said, I worked harder than the other apostles. So that's why you see with Paul's ministry, he reached more people because he said, I'm going to do the hard work of evangelism. You know, when I started preaching the gospel in New Zealand, it was hard work. But God just encouraged me to continue. When you sow the seed, sometimes you don't see the harvest straight away. But 10, 15, 20 years later, you can see the people that God has saved.
Amen.
So that's why we should always be encouraged. God's word is powerful seed. And if we speak it to people, we are sowing the seed of God's word into their hearts. That's why I don't give up with these Muslims. I'm still believing that they will get saved. Even if it takes another 5 years, 10 years, we keep reaching out to them. Keep sowing the word of God into their lives. Now, one thing that Paul encouraged Timothy was, don't get distracted. Make sure that you are keep preaching the word.
Yeah.
Don't get distracted by whatever busy things that you are doing, which are good, but if you're not reaching the unbelievers, if you're not reaching out to the lost, that has to be a focus. So once you get the prayer breakthrough, God can just open doors all around here.
Amen.
So let's believe for more families around here, open doors. So have the fire to do the work of an evangelist in your heart. Okay, fourth and final point is the discipleship. Discipleship of both new believers and old believers. Because we have to keep growing in Christ.
Yeah.
Until we get to heaven, we have to keep growing spiritually.
Amen.
Paul said, even towards the end of his life, I press on to reach the goal of the high prize in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So we have to keep pressing on. Jesus, I want to get closer to you. So one scripture is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, from verse 27 to 29.
27. Down to 29,
yeah.
It says, God's plan is to make known his secret to his people. This rich and glorious secret which he has for all people. And the secret is that Christ is in you, which means that you will share the glory of God. 28. So we preach Christ to everyone with all possible wisdom we want and teach them in order to bring its one into God's presence as a mature individual in union with Christ. 29. To get this done, I toil and struggle, usually using the mighty strength which God supplies and which He is at work in me.
Amen.
Okay, the mystery that God has revealed of is that we can share in the glory of God through Christ in us.
Mm-hmm.
If you can read verse 28 again.
28 says,
yes.
So we preach Christ to everyone with all possible wisdom we want and teach them in order to bring each one into God's presence as a mature individual in union with Christ.
Okay, bringing mature Christians. My one says that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. So Paul was saying that we have to have the wisdom of God how to develop and strengthen and build up Christians to be the mature believers.
Amen.
It's not just getting a person saved, it's making them into a disciple, a mature Christian, so that they have their treasures in heaven.
Amen.
So we don't want just people just to make it into heaven at the end of their life. No, we want strong, mature believers that have their treasures in heaven and have come into the fullness of Christ for
Amen.
Their lives, the high call of God for their lives. And that's the vision that Paul had. You know, he was struggling for the churches. I've got to build up the church. I've got to make it a strong church.
Mm.
He was writing letters to them, training them, fixing their problems, rebuking them for whatever sins were still in the church. But he had the vision, I want to present these people. What's it going to be like to present them before God on the day of judgment? He said of some of the churches, you are my crown, you are my reward. So he saw the believers as being so special, so important.
Mm.
So that's why he had such a big vision to make every believer the strong believer. You can just read verse 29 again.
29. To get this done, I toil and struggle, using the mighty strength which Christ supplies and which is at work in me.
To my version it says, to this end I labor, struggling with all God's energy which so powerfully works in me. So he had faith that it's God's power working through me, but I'm going to work as hard as I can to make this church the strong church. And that's the vision of true discipleship. And that's why Paul did such a good job. Paul had a high vision of what it means to be a Christian, to be united to Jesus Christ, to come into the fullness of Christ. So he had a vision of revival in the church,
Amen.
That this church is going to be a powerful church. So I want to encourage you to have revival in your
Amen.
Church. So there are four simple keys that we've looked at. just remind you quickly again. And these are the keys that can bring breakthrough to any church, can bring move of God, move of God's power in your church. So it starts with repentance. We humble ourselves before God. God, we have fallen short of your glory. We know you have so much higher standard for your church. Lord, you want to do more. Lord, we want to press ahead to receive it and believe it. So Lord, forgive us of how we've fallen short of your glory. Change us, transform us into the image of Christ. Search us, Lord God. Purify us. God wants a pure church. Jesus is coming for his bride. And it says it will be spotless, without wrinkle, without sin. So God wants to give us the keys for victory. We're in a spiritual battle. The devil's pulling down the church, pulling down individual Christians. But Jesus has the keys for victory. If we have a repentant heart, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us. And when you have a repentant heart, it will make you strong in prayer.
Yes.
Because once you're clean and you're purified, you'll have an open heaven. When I was reading about these revivals in America in the 1800s, it like helped me to have a greater prayer burden. Charles Finney used to call it a spirit of prayer. By that we mean an atmosphere of prayer. It's like a open heaven. And it's like a prayer burden is upon you for the salvation of the lost. You know, if you don't have that prayer burden, you can hardly ever pray. But if you have the prayer burden, it's like you've got an open heaven. You're walking with God. You're
Amen.
Praying. You're interceding. God, bring breakthrough in this place. And when the whole church has that prayer burden, then you've got a united prayer strength. And you've got a movement of laying hold of God.
Amen.
So when the whole church is having revival, that's, you know, the whole church is really laying hold of God, the unity in the church. And then that moves into the third point, which was evangelism. And then you see that it's not hard because God's presence is touching people. It's not hard to witness to them because God has gone ahead of you. You've got the prayer breakthrough. God gives you messages. God speaks to you. You've got revival in the church, but then it makes it easy to reach the unbelievers. And then lastly, we have the vision of discipleship. We want every Christian to be the strong Christian, to really lay hold of God.
Amen.
So that's my message, to encourage you to
Amen.
Have revival in your church, have breakthrough for God's kingdom.
Amen.